Now we're going to go into the last segment of this whole thing about Aaron and Nefilas. So now we go to the Sicha. We're going to the first words that Rebbe spoke about the war of Milchemes HaMifrits. The war was just before Purim, right? Purim was on Thursday. The war finished on Thursday on Purim. 2 days later was Shabbos. Shabbos passes Tisa. Shabbos passes Tisa, the Rebbe didn't mention one word about the war. This is an amazing thing. The Rebbe later on spoke so much about the Nisim and the Flores when it comes to Shabbos passes Tisa, right after the war, when everyone was celebrating the fact that so many scouts had fallen and no Yidden had been hurt, the Rebbe passes Tisa didn't mention a word. It was only a whole week later, passes B'Yakob Kudei. That's the first time the Rebbe mentions it. And so what we have over here is a letter which was written Motzei Shabbos, which is that the letter, Tov Shin Nun Aleph. Yeah, there was Tov Shin Nun Aleph. Yeah, 91. And there, in this letter from Motzei Shabbos, that is the Rebbe's letter. 91. Yeah. The letter here, the Rebbe, this is like, goes over the Teichon, which was actually in the Verbringen. So now, we'll go through this, the first part very quickly. The first thing the Rebbe says on line one, that to give attention to these nisim which happened. The Rebbe says on line number two, these nisim were open nisim not only for Am Yisrael, but also for all the Amim, for all the nations. So now we see very clearly, you see the Rebbe says here, Amim and all the nations. So you're going to see further, the Rebbe does not focus on Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbe does not only that, the more we go further, the less you're going to see the Rebbe's focusing on Eretz Yisrael. He's focusing on the Goyim. In other words, that the center of everything is Eretz Yisrael. But where the Nisim are happening, what the Rebbe is emphasizing, what the Rebbe is focusing on, is all on the going. So now here the Rebbe says it's not only for the Am Yisrael, for also for all the nations. And the next paragraph, the Rebbe says that it was even greater than the Nisim, or the Ness of Purim. Let's not go into that. The Rebbe says very clearly, explains in detail in this paragraph why this Ness is greater than Purim. Which this alone is something which we have to understand what the Rebbe is saying here. But anyways, this is what the Rebbe says. Now, again, in line 8 and 9, and the Rebbe repeats himself again and said that this Ness was for Bnei Yisrael and for all the Goy, and for the whole world. So the Rebbe here is focusing on the world. Now we'll go to the next paragraph, we'll see even clearer how the Rebbe is focusing on the world. Because here the Rebbe, this is the next section of the letter, and the Rebbe here goes in the breakdown of the actual Nisim which happened. So look, you'll hear now, look, in line 10. The Rebbe says, according to the regular conditions, there was expected to be a world war should have broken out over here. So here the Rebbe is talking about before the war. A world war should have broken out. Now, just by the way, in the Mems, several times the Rebbe had said there was a chance for world war breaking out. I don't remember exactly when, but different times the Rebbe had mentioned it. So the fact that Rebbe says that there was a chance for a world war breaking out is not a new thing. The Rebbe has said it in the past. But here you go on line 11, the second half of the line, the Rebbe says that another thing, that here, even the war which started, which was not a world war, it was a war, even this war which started in the way which is the Maile Ben HaTeva, it subsided. It subsided. Even the war which actually broke out, subsided. Now, I just want you to understand what's going on over here. The Mendel, this is a story. You don't remember it, so I remember it quite well from whatever I knew from that time. The war subsided on Purim. The reason why it subsided is because Bush decided he doesn't want to go further with the war. He wanted Iraq to be out of Kuwait. He drove him out of Kuwait, and he did not go to invade Iraq. And this, when that happened, I just want you to understand, when that happened, Bush decided he's not going further. For many people, like more normal people like me, we were very disappointed. Because look, he was doing the war, they were winning, and the scouts missed what happened, the scouts were falling, and now no one was being hurt, this was openness in. So why did they all of a sudden decide not to go further the war? Go to the end and wipe them all out. So we, I guess most people from Olam Hazeh like me, see it as real disappointment that Bush did not want to go further with the war. Now we're going to see how the Rebbe looks at it. And the Rebbe looks at it completely different. So the Rebbe is going to see the fact that he did not continue with the war, that is going to be the biggest Ness. But we saw the nest as being the scuds falling and no one was hurt. That the Rebbe here doesn't mention at all. He sort of, it's implied maybe, right? In the Sikha of the Fabring, and I have a quote here, he mentions one short word about it. Also very, very short, but there's one word. But in this side, there's no mention about it. It's implied. It's included maybe, but there's no mention about it. What the Rebbe is focusing on, something which we don't even regard as a nest, we may regard it as a disappointment. And not only that, now, here's another thing. As we go further. So now, here the Rebbe continues to say, on line one, page number two, line one, when all the signs show that we can expect here there should be a very long war, an enormous army, and the war will continue for many weeks and months, here the victory came in a very short time. That's what he says over here. So, now, I'm just gonna bring out the point again. Remembering from going on that time, the way we understood it was that America had overestimated the power of Saddam. They had prepared for a much bigger war, and Saddam, what was going on over there, when I remember the stories coming out, that bit what I heard, how the Saddam was going on his side. Things were so unarranged. He didn't have the ability to fight such a war. So the way we regarded it, we thought that America had overestimated it. So we don't look at this, the fact that America had this, managed to have this victory. We wouldn't regard it as a nest. Here the Rebbe, what's the nest that Rebbe's focusing on? No, the Rebbe's telling us it should have been a very big war. And the nest that happened so quickly. So everything the Rebbe's saying here is just very contrary to our thinking.
Should have been a bigger war?
The Rebbe's saying, the Rebbe's telling us, it was, yes, it could have been a very big war. The fact that it did, was done, is an S. It was so short, it was an S. Not that the America had overestimated. I'm just telling you the way, the main points come soon. Now, the Rebbe says that the Nitzachon was so great that it avoided a lot of blood to be spilled from the Goyim. They were fearing. Now remember this. There's a lot of fear about a lot of life being lost. The nest was so great that it avoided all this bloodshed. And, okay, remember, look, the Rebbe is saying bloodshed from going. There's not one mention about bloodshed being avoided from Yidden. You see that? Mm-hmm. Okay, see where the Rebbe's focus is on the going. Then the Rebbe, not only that, it even brought to that the enemy, referring to Saddam, he should, in full trust, actually turn captives. He started cooperating. This fact that Saddam cooperated, that we're going to soon see, that is the biggest nest where the Rebbe is celebrating. That is a big business. And that's what the Rebbe starts talking about in the Floyds. He says the Abishter has revealed himself. It's all about Saddam cooperating, right? That is it. And what did Saddam cooperate? He returned captives. He's talking about returning Goyish captives. Yes? And this is what the Rebbe's celebrating is this. Now, yes, by the way, now you remember, before the war, now just remember this, before the war, the Rebbe was the one who was saying the whole time that Eretz Yisrael had nothing to worry about. And everything which is going on is all to help Eretz Yisrael. He brought the Yalkut Shemini, Eretz Yisrael, all the work is going to be done for Eretz Yisrael. And that's what happened. Eretz Yisrael didn't have to go to war. The war was fought for them. And Eretz Yisrael had the big nissim. No one was hurt with the scuds. So the Rebbe was the one who predicted all of this up front. He was predicting this the whole time. When the Rebbe here is now is telling us about the Nissan which happened then, that there's not one word about the fact, about the Yalkut, that the fact that you didn't have to go to war. Not one word about that. Not one word that the scouts didn't, no one was hurt by the scouts. There's only one in the Fabring, and there's one short line on that. Here the Rebbe is focusing on something else completely. So now let's go to the next paragraph. Here the Rebbe, this is 9 days, this is the Shabbos, the second Shabbos after the end of the war, which is 9 days after the war. Now here the Rebbe says, we have a tzivuy from the Torah, not al tiftach peh, to be careful what we say, and from now on should only be good things. What the Rebbe is saying here, the Rebbe is saying very clearly that, and we're going to see that later on in the later sikha, the Rebbe says it out very clearly, that there was a great chance
That's the Bush stopped the war. He stopped the war after 7 days. No one knew if Saddam was completely destroyed or not. There was a very, very strong suggestion that Saddam has a lot of ammunition still, and he can still do a lot of damage. It was great fears, and it was being discussed. So here, now we can understand why the Rebbe didn't want to speak about him 1 week earlier, L'cheira. Because at that point, no one knew what's going on. What if this is, if it's just going to be another, an interruption, the war is going to revive itself again. So now it's after a whole week has passed, and Saddam started cooperating. Oh, so now comes the Rebbe with this, telling us about the Nisim. So it's all very clear that the focus of the Rebbe is on the fact that Saddam is cooperating. Okay, now, let's continue. The next part, let's go to line 10 and 11. Now, in line 10 and 11, the Rebbe says, and now he says, he's anticipating to have bigger Nisim. This is in the Sichas, Rebbe explained this. This is all in Chedesh Adar. We're going to have it soon in the Sichas, Rebbe says it later also. This Nes is the Nes which happened in Chedesh Adar, the victory of the war. Now the Rebbe is anticipating Chedesh Nisim, which is a month of Nisim even greater than Adar. So now the Rebbe is anticipating that we should have even greater Nisim. So now we have, going over to line 12, the Rebbe, this is the letter which the Rebbe wrote, it's over a week later, it's 10 days later, on Hey Nisim. And here it's again the letter, here there's a one paragraph about the Nisim. And here the Rebbe says, here's a quote, which the Rebbe is going to repeat again and again. The next few weeks, the Rebbe is going to repeat it again and again, this quote. And he says here, this is Aren in the floor, the Eibishter himself is showing Nisim. And because, this is line 13, the Eibishter himself is showing Nisim, that because the Eibishter himself is showing Nisim, therefore all the hidden things, all the revealed things are open, all the hidden things are open. Now, these hidden things which are open, what are the Rebbe referring to? We're soon going to see. We're going to see these hidden things which are open. The Rebbe is saying the hidden things which are open. You can imagine this is something really, really amazing. So the hidden things which are open is we're going to soon see, like the Rebbe says later on, is the fact that Saddam took money, which no one knew he had, and he gave it to America. So when the Rebbe is telling us that the hidden things were open, and this hidden things, it's these hidden things we see later on in the Sikha. Is it these hidden things which the fact that Saddam went, not only paid back for the damage he caused, he went and revealed that he had money that no one knew he had, the fact that he cooperated to such extent, that is the biggest nest, and that is what the Rebbe is saying, the Atzmus HaMuhus was Megala himself. What? He gave back money. Just to add, just by the way, that money which Saddam gave back, do you know what happened to it? A lot of America just lost. Okay, just by the way.
Lost it?
Yeah, they say 6 billion. He gave back at something 20 something billion dollars, and 6 billion just got lost. It took a few years later. The America found it. So I'm just telling you, like, what the money, and this money is what the Rebbe is. This will go soon later. And this is what the Rebbe is celebrating here. So now let's go over. Now the Rebbe says on line 14, when the Abishah shows Nisim, therefore we see the pnimius, the truth of Anhoga Sateva, and we see the full impact of Anhoga Nisis, and then even that, what is above Teva and above Ness. See, the Rebbe is saying again, these words the Rebbe is going to repeat again and again. We see over here the full truth, that's on line 14, we see the full truth of the Teva, Ha'emes HaPnimius of the Teva, the full impact of the Ness, and then that what is above Ness and Teva. So now here the Rebbe is giving a very lot of attention to the Inyan from Teva. He's like putting Teva in equal status as Ness, the full truth of Teva and the full impact of the Ness. Now, so this is very unique. Why is it unique? Because the way it usually is, Teva is not the same as Ness. Teva is secondary to Ness. Here the Rebbe is giving Teva equal importance to Nes. And that is a Mahalach, which later on in the Sikha, the next Sikha we have, and it's happening in the footnote, in the footnote 14, I actually bring it down. The fact that Rebbe is giving so much importance to Teva as to Nes is a unique Mahalach of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe gives even more importance to Teva. He not only gives it equal, he gives him more, as we'll see later. And this is this point of Teva. This is the whole thing, the whole theme behind everything the Rebbe is saying over here, as we'll soon see. Anyways, let's go over to the Sikh of Yud Aleph Nissen. Here in the Sikh of Yud Aleph Nissen, you have, in the very end, you look at the very last lines of Yud Aleph Nissen. Now, this Sikh of Yud Aleph Nissen is a very powerful Sikh. And I don't want to go into the whole thing. It's a very powerful Sikh. It's not, the Rebbe says things which like, so amazing, but just let's go over to line 22 and 24, where the Rebbe says the same thing what he said before about Ness and Teva, the full truth of Teva, etc., etc. He said that before. Now you go over, let's go over to page number 3. Remember, let's then go over to page number 3. Now I want to show you on page number 3, here on lines 4 to 9. Here, let's just look what the Rebbe is saying. It's highlighted in heavy highlight. Now you just read the words yourself. Here you have Hashem. We have there Enu, the Gilui, and the vision. The read a Gilui v'Hariyah ba'Kodesh Baruch Hu Asmi Kivyachom. V'Hoyu Einecha Ro Esmerecha Riyah be'Enei Basa. What the Rebbe is saying here? You have now the revelation of Hashem to see Him with your Gashmistic eyes. You see that words? Now, fine. And therefore,
speaks about the war.
Yud Aleph Nissen after. He's talking about the Nissim, and he's telling us what we can see now. You read the word. You don't.
What does it
mean? What does it mean? Okay, but that's what they're saying. Yeah. So now let's go to line 5. Well, now that we have Shosh Yesh Har Enu, the Kodesh Baruch Hashem. Now we have the Enu in the Eidus himself. Therefore, we see the Teva, the Ness. We see everything. But they're saying us we can see Aliyah in the Eidus himself. Now, just to add to the point, in the footnote 15, there's an order there in the Sikha, which the Rebbe says, how can you say we're seeing the Abish himself? So the Rebbe says, it was already happened once by Matan Torah. So what's a big Kiddush? You hear that?
That's a big
what?
It is a big Kiddush.
So I'll tell you what, the way it goes, the Rebbe's, it's written in Tanya, about Moshe Mashiach, we're going to see the Eibishter. So it says in Tanya, you should know, it really happened once in Matan Torah. The Rebbe is now using the same words. He's telling you, now you can see the Eibishter. Lecheira, the Rebbe is never going to say anything new. No, the Rebbe says you already saw it by Matan Torah. Okay? Okay, so now.
I didn't.
So let's go to line 7. And then the next line 7, the Rebbe says his words, till you have the scholars of the Abish himself is the scholars. That's what the Rebbe is saying. You see these words? Then the Rebbe said, then what are the Abish occupied with? Kivyochel. And then the Rebbe adds, oh, even without Kivyochel. Usually we say Kivyochel when we say the Abish is occupied. To say the Abish is occupied, the Abish is never occupied with anything. So the Rebbe says, here he's occupied without Kivyochel. The Abish is giving him a fully over to show us he's Nissim. Right? Okay. Fine, so let's just go over now. This Sikha Chov Nissen. Now, this Sikha, so this Sikha of Yud Aleph Nissen, which you just now quoted, is a very powerful, it's like very powerful, very potent. It doesn't elaborate too much. It just tells you that the Eibishter himself is giving him all himself over here. Which is, these are most amazing words, which is mamish. It's unbelievable when when you see the Rebbe saying such words, you can sort of understand why the Rebbe says Chof Ches Nissen, why is no one moving after you hear such words from the Rebbe. But look, anyway, so let's go over to this next Sikha of Chof Vov Nissen. This Sikha is 2 days before Chof Ches Nissen. And it's the Yechidus Klolus, and here the Rebbe summarizes everything, all the Nissen which happened. So it's the Rebbe actually explains it very clearly, and he's comparing it to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. To the Makim Tzayim B'Vchirein, that means to Shabbos HaGadol. He's comparing it to the Ness of Shabbos HaGadol. What are the Ness of Shabbos HaGadol? That the B'chorim went and fought with their elders. So that is what the Rebbe is going to compare it to. So now here we have it on line 11. The Rebbe says, the scholar of the Ness of Pesach started with the Makim Tzayim B'Vchirein, that was the Ness of Shabbos HaGadol. And here the Rebbe explains on line 12, Remakim, Mitzrayim B'Vchirein means the B'chorim only hit their elders. They didn't kill out the elders. See, this is a new type which I don't think we ever heard before. The Rebbe is saying, Remakim, the B'chorim only hit the elders, they didn't kill them. And the Rebbe goes to explain. Because if the B'chorim would have killed out the Mitzrayim, the Rebbe explains, because they didn't kill them, the B'chorim didn't kill the Mitzrayim, they only killed some of them. But they basically did, they only hit them.
Some of them were killed. Okay, but they mainly they hit them. They just went to fight with them. Now the Rebbe explains in 9:13, why so? Because if they would have killed them, then what would have happened? What happened if the Bukhari would have killed all the Mitzrayim? It would be a simple solution. The Yidden can go out of Mitzrayim without any problem. No, that is not the Nakuda. The Yidden should go out of Mitzrayim without Mitzrayim, without all the Mitzrayim dead. That is not the way the Abishah wants it. The Abishah wants the Mitzrayim should come to see the nest that they themselves are driving the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. And that is why the Mitzrayim were not killed. They were only hit by the Bukhariim. In order that they should come to see the nest, how they themselves are driving the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Okay? That's what Rebbe says over here. Now the next...
They were killed by the last Maka, no?
I'm sorry?
They were killed by the last Maka.
But they were killed in Kriyas Yom Tov. So we're soon going to get to that. The Bukhariim were also killed. We're soon going to get to that.
Talking about Shabbos
HaGadol,
they were hit?
No, so Shabbos was they were hit. They were hit, they were all killed by Kriyas Yom Tov. They, all the Mitzrayim were killed by Kriyas Yom Tov, those who could fight. Who went, yeah, and the Bukhari were killed on that night, was killed that night by Makas Bukhari's. So we'll soon come to that. Now, here the Rebbe continues. On the 15th day of Nisan, that is when Makas Bukhari's actually happened. That is then, on that day, what happened? All the Mitzrayim got together and they actually pushed the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. They started ushering the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. And what happened? The Yidden went out with shleimus, with a lot of money, they took a lot of, and they emptied out Mitzrayim. And here on line 17, the Rebbe adds these words, which means these are the words the Rebbe is going to focus on later, that even the money, which the Yidden did not ask for Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim also gave them. They gave them things which they didn't even ask for. And this is the biggest nest, which the Rebbe is going to focus on later. Anyways, then you have, that was on the day of Tezvav Nisan, when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. Then you have the end of Yitzhak's Mitzrayim, which was by Kriyas Yom Tov. This is on line 18. And here the Rebbe explains, till the Yidden actually crossed the Yom Tov, the Yidden was still scared from the Goy, the Mitzrayim. And they were still feared from the Mitzrayim. But when they got drowned in the Yom Tov, there was no one left. There was no more fear from them, besides one person, Pari Melech Mitzrayim. Why did Pari Melech Mitzrayim remain? In order he should see the Nisim which happened. Okay? Okay. Now see how the Rebbe takes...
The set of Ravs.
What?
The
Rebbe Rav. Okay, so the Rebbe is not going to that because they were... So they were considered... Alpi Allah, they considered Yidden, right? So the Rebbe is not going, considering them. So now let's go. The Rebbe takes all of this and explains it, how it works in our day to day. In that year, Tavshin and Aleph. So now here the Rebbe in line 22, the Rebbe says that everyone can see how the Nisim are happening in these days, in the right time, exact timing of a Chedish Nisim. So here the Rebbe goes, here the Rebbe is going to the breakdown of the timing. 9:24. Before Pesach, what happened before Pesach? We had Lamakim Mitzrayim B'Chorayim, the story of Shabbos HaGadol. What was there the story? Now here you're going to have to listen to let's look how this works. The Rebbe said, what was before Pesach? Here the Rebbe, before Pesach, here the Rebbe referring to, from Purim till Pesach. What happened there? The Bechorim, which is referring to all the Goyim, America. Yeah? Koilil, Mimdinis, Mitzrayim. Koilil, Mimdinis, 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 that means the Bechorim refers to all the Goyim, also Mitzrayim of our day, Egypt today, and all the Arab nations. I guess, and they all came and hit. They all went to fight war against Iraq. Right? They all, okay? That's Makim Islam Yochareim. Then the Rebbe continues, July 27 and 28. And the Purim was the war was a big victory. And the Rebbe explained they didn't wipe out Iraq. Remember again, what we thought as a disappointment that Bush didn't go to wipe out Iraq. Here the Rebbe is telling us, no, this is all part of the Kavanah. He's not meant to wipe out Iraq. They have to remain. They have to remain in order they should see the nest, which the Rebbe is going to discuss soon. So they didn't wipe out Iraq. And who did the work of wiping them out? It was done through the Bechorim, not through the Yidden. Okay? Fine. And they forced him to, they forced Saddam to go back on all the things he had done, to fix the things. Now, and he had to, 29, he had to give back, he had to listen to everything he was told, he had to free a lot of the captives, and do everything else they asked from him. Now, just by the way, what happens here, something similar to what you mentioned before, here the Rebbe is saying the Bechorim forced Saddam to cooperate, right? Now, by Mitzis Mitzrayim, the Bechorim went to war against the elders. They didn't accomplish anything at all. The Rebbe explains it in other sichas. They went to war, and nothing changed. What actually got Paray to force it? You didn't go out of Mitzrayim. What Paray did force it? You didn't go out? Well, the fact that all the Bechorim died. So here, no Bechorim are dying. In other words, the Bechorim then in Mitzrayim, they forced, they got the Paray, they got Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim and Paray, they sent it now. How did they get them to go out? Because the Bukharim died. So that's why they sent Eden out. Here the Bukharim managed to have the effect on Mitzrayim, on Saddam, but without dying. So here we have the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim sort of in a different angle, in a Mashiach angle, that people don't have to die in order to accomplish what they had to accomplish once upon a time, right? Okay, so fine. So here we say, okay, fine. So here the Rebbe actually says that, here the Rebbe actually says that they did all the work for the Yidden. They did all the work for the Yidden, and they forced Iraq to regret everything he did. Now, let's go to line 31. In the continuation of, one second. Now, here we come to Imei Pesach. Here the Rebbe is talking about before Pesach. Till now, the Rebbe is talking about before Pesach. Now the Rebbe is going to talk over about Pesach. Pesach, the Nisim developed even more. And let's go over to take number four. What Nisim developed even more? Here the Rebbe explains on line number one, page four, that Purim, we did not know what's going to happen. Here the Rebbe says very clearly, when it came to Purim, when the victory was a victory on Purim, we were not sure what's coming in the future. How strong is going to be, here the Rebbe says very clearly. We didn't know. Now, when it came Pesach, okay, here the Rebbe is now talking about Pesach. The Bukhoyrim, all the people, in other words, the other Goyishan nations, came and forced Saddam that he has to go back on everything he did. He has to free captives, etc., etc. And he has to pay back for the damage that he did, and everything. So that what happened on Pesach. Okay, that is, I just want you to understand, that is ready like the Yidden going, let's leave it there. That's what happened on Pesach. Now, I just want you to see something. You see the Rebbe says, quote, to the name Saddam, on line 4, beginning of line 4. The Rebbe, in the Sikha, this Sikha, the continuation, I don't have the whole Sikha, the Rebbe keeps on quoting Saddam, Saddam, Saddam. You know the Rebbe speaks about people, all the years the Rebbe speaking about people without quoting the names. The Rebbe never quotes the names of anyone, right? Here, Yimach Shomoy Saddam, the Rebbe keeps on quoting his name. There's one other time which I remember the Rebbe quoted the name of someone with the Rebbe Carter. And that time the Rebbe quoted, you can understand why the Rebbe was quoting for the side reason, whatever. But here the Rebbe is quoting Saddam again and again. Why? Because the Rebbe told us that Paray was left to remain alive in order he should see the Nissen. So now the Rebbe is talking about Paray. The Rebbe says, yes, I mean, that is why the Rebbe is quoting Saddam. He is now focusing on this Paray who remained in existence. Okay. Now I'm going to line 6 and 7. Here is after Pesach. Here is after Pesach. That means, now I just want to understand what you mean after Pesach here. Because remember, Pesach was Kriyas, the last days of Pesach was Kriyas Yamsuf. What happened with Kriyas Yamsuf? All the fears for Mitzrayim subsided. No more fears left. Why? They were all wiped out. The fact that all the fears subsided and they all were wiped out, that is what the Rebbe said in the previous paragraph. In Pesach, the Bechorim forced Saddam to follow through. Saddam was completely crushed. So now there's no, during Pesach, all the fears, this is what the Rebbe says in the previous paragraph, and to put in those fears. During Pesach, all the fears disappeared. That's just like with the Yidden, when they're crossing the Yamsuf. When it came to the Yamsuf, all the fears disappeared. And who remains? That is why the Rebbe says the name Saddam. Because what did the Rebbe say before? That by Kriyas Yamsuf, the only person who was left was Paray. So now the Rebbe wants to make sure that we understand what he's saying. The only person left is Saddam. He's the Russia.
He is still there, but all his abilities, capability to do sin, anything, which by Mitzrayim meant all Paris soldiers were drowned. All his abilities to function were lost. He, Saddam himself remains, like Paris, only Paris remained. Now let's go to lines 6 and 7. Here the Rebbe is saying something here, in the after Pesach, when the Rebbe is speaking, till the last days when the Rebbe is speaking. Here the Rebbe is saying what even a beginner's, that Saddam agreed to everything, and without any objections, and here comes the last, the punchline, which is the Rebbe is focusing on more than everything else, he revealed money which no one knew he had. Okay? Now, these fact that he revealed money, that the Rebbe is going to repeat again and again, the Dvarav HaGnuzim, the Rebbe is going to talk about Russia, he's going to say Russia also revealed money. It's all about them revealing money. And this is a big ness, which the Rebbe is celebrating. Now, what is such a big ness about that he revealed money? What is the Teichel, here you're talking about, why is the Rebbe celebrating this ness of revealing money, which the Chayla is such a low thing for, I mean, we had his such nisim of Yidden's lives being saved. Why the Rebbe saying the Dvorim HaNistorim is the fact that he, the Gilu Dvorim HaNistorim, the fact that he revealed money. That's best. Yeah. So why, what is the meaning of this?
I got it.
What? So one second. Now, just got one more thing, which is interesting. I just want to show you on line 16. Here, if you see the words Malchi Poros Amodai, Malchi Poros Amodai. You see those words in brackets on line 16? So the Rebbe, what the Rebbe is saying here, Purim, he had, what was Purim? Purim was the Nes in Zman HaGolus. So the Rebbe says, Purim, the salvation from the victory in Purim, was like the story of Purim. It was Malchei Paras Amadai. The Nisim of Chedish Nisim, what is that? That is the Rebbe says in line 17, that's the Gula of Yidden. That what happened over there is Nis. It does like Purim. It was Nis for Klal Yisrael. But was it a Gula?
Yeah.
Not a Gula. Purim was not a Gula. It was a Nis for Teichel Zman HaGolus. Here when you have Saddam cooperating, that is Gulas Yisrael.
That's correct.
Huh?
That's a connection.
What's the connection? So the quid is, let's go right over to what we've been learning the whole time. Let's go to page number 5. Anyway, on page number 5, we have it right here. Let's go back to Shabbos HaGadol. We just go to Shabbos HaGadol. It's almost the same thing as Shabbos HaGadol. Here in Shabbos HaGadol, the question was, the Rebbe says in a Sicha, Chiruch of Zayin, that Shabbos HaGadol was no Ness at all. Why was there no Ness? Because the Bukhari went to fight. Because they were scared for their lives. They saw nine Makkos beforehand, and now they're going to die. So they went to fight. So the Rebbe says there's no Ness. So here the Rebbe explains, so why is Shabbos HaGadol called a great Ness, a big Ness? It's no Ness. Why is it called a big Ness? The Rebbe explains. Because here the Bechorim cooperate. The fact that the Teva cooperates, that is the biggest Ness. This is what the Rebbe explains here from lines 15 to 21. When a Ness happens, it's not a Ness. A Ness is a Ness. A Ness Godel, Shabbos HaGadol, that is when the Teva cooperates. What happened with the Bechorim? They cooperate, and that is a big Ness. Now let's go to line 26. Line 26, we had this before, but just to repeat it, that here the Rebbe explains, it's actually more on the next page, the page number 6. We go over to the next page, page number 6. On line 1, here the Rebbe actually explains that when you have a Ness, and the Ness coming and affecting the Teva, if when you see the Teva, you realize that something above Teva is happening, some type of Teva, Ness, the Rebbe says, if you see it as something different than normal, that is not the full Gilui of the Eibishter. Where is the full Gilui of the Eibishter? When the whole Ness happens according to pure Teva. There's nothing, the Teva, when it goes according to pure Teva, that is a big Ness. So now, this is what is the Rebbe saying here? Here you saw, by Shabbos HaGadol, there were Teva, the Mitzrayim, cooperated. What was the big Ness? They cooperated because they were scared for their lives. That makes no difference. The fact that the world's cooperating, that is the biggest Ness. Why is that the biggest Ness? Because once you have the world cooperating, you don't need any more Nissan. So this is, we have to sort of get this into our minds. This is how it works. This is what we learned when we were little kids. What did we learn? There's the Eibishter, there's Teira. He gave us in Teira. Then there's the world. Okay. In the world, you don't see the Eibishter. In the Torah, there's the Eibishter. In the world, you don't see the Eibishter.
So, the world doesn't see the Eibishter. What happens when the world, the goy in the world, goes against the Eibishter, goes against the Torah? So in order to defeat the goy, you need an S. When the goy is going along with the program of the Torah, you don't need the nest, because the Torah is the nest is made for the world. The world is a helim. The helim doesn't, the tev is a helim. The tev doesn't see the Eibishter. The goy doesn't see the Eibishter. So you need the nest to get him to realize he has to listen to the Eibishter. When the goy is going along with the Torah is above the world. So you don't need any nesim at all. So what does this, so now what does this mean to us? It means poshut kipshute. That we today, now, this is the Rebbe's talking about Shabbos HaGolu, in this sikh we had before, Chelek of Zion. But let's take it to us today by Saddam. The Rebbe is telling us, Saddam, look what's happening here. You take the world, the lowest of the lowest, Saddam, and you can actually affect him that he should cooperate, that shows there's nothing there in the world now that he's standing against the vision of the Torah. You can affect every single goy. So if you can affect every single goy, you can do Torah mitzvahs, and therefore you can you can go get everything you want through Torah mitzvahs. In other words, you want Kriyas Yamsuf? Yes, you can get it through Torah mitzvahs, but when Kriyas Yamsuf is going to happen today, it's going to happen in a natural form. But you'll get the same results. You don't need Nisim. So this is the whole Mekudah of the Rebbe. This is what the Rebbe says. This is the Eibishter himself above, it's a, aboveness, it's above everything. It's Eibishter, Torah mitzvahs. Once you have the ability to do Torah mitzvahs, that is Atzmus and Hus, and nothing else. Okay, fine. Now let's go over to line 6. So here, line 5. Here, just to bring out the point, you have here, the Rebbe explains, the Torah starts with Bereishis. Why did the Torah start with Bereishis? Bereishis is talking about the world. The Torah is made for Torah mitzvahs. The Torah should have started with the Chodesh. And so the Bereishis is Teva. A Chodesh is an Hoge Nisis. The Torah starts with an Hoge Tivis of Bereishis. Why?
What Nisim?
Chodesh is Nes. It's the Medrash. It says a Chodesh is the Hoge Nisis. That is when, because that was the Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that is when the Hoge Nisus started, but Bereishis was on Hoge Sateva. So now the Rebbe is saying the Torah starts with Bereishis, which is on Hoge Sateva, right? Why do the Torah start with Bereishis? So the Rebbe says, if let's say the Torah would have done first HaChodesh, right? And then Bereishis. Bereishis would come later. HaChodesh is more important. It should be first. So let's say the Torah would have put Bereishis. Then the Bereishis would have been secondary to HaChodesh. Yeah? Second. Because what's first HaChodesh? No, that's not the way the Eibishter created the world. The Eibishter created the world that Bereishis is not secondary to anything. Bereishis is completely independent. The Torah starts with Bereishis. Independent fact, existence for itself, Teva. That is what Teva is not secondary. It's an independent existence. Now, once you do Bereishis, and you have all the Teva, then you have a new thing. What do you have? A deeper thing. That's when it's revealed, the Chodesh, and Hoganesis. That is a deeper revelation. So what happens when you have a Chodesh? When you come to a Chodesh, you come to realize the Hoganesis, then you come to realize that really the whole of Bereishis was empowered by the Hoganesis. Once you come to realize a Chodesh, you realize that the whole of Bereishis is empowered by a Chodesh. But where do you start up from? You start from Bereishis. Because Teva is not... in other words, when you're going to realize that Bereishis is empowered by a Chodesh, you're going to realize that Bereishis is, as an independent existence, is empowered by a Chodesh. Not because Bereishis is secondary. Bereishis is independent. And nevertheless, it's empowered by a Chodesh. Like we said before, the Rebbe says, this Teva Ness, the Rebbe gives individual importance to each one. Teva is not secondary in any ways. Now, let's go, what's going to happen when Moshe Mashiach is going to come? This Maimon here, we're bringing here about Chodesh. And Bereishis is talking about Moshe Mashiach. Chodesh Nisim, we're going to have the Gula. What's going to happen when the Gula is going to come? That we're going to have then the Nahog Nisis of a Chodesh. That's what the Rebbe explains to the mind. We're going to have a Chodesh. And that's we're going to realize that the whole of Bereishis is just empowered by by a Chodesh. So when the Mashiach is going to come, where's Bereishis going to be? You're going to be the beginning of the Torah is going to move. If we're going to realize it's all being empowered, Bereshis is going to be empowered by Chedesh. So where's Bereshis going to be? Of course Bereshis is going to stay in the same place. Bereshis is going to be there. So what is the Nekuda? The Nekuda is when Moshe Mashiach comes, Teva stays independent reality. Teva never loses its individuality, its independence. But what? We in Teva come to realize that there is something which is above, deeper. We come to realize the full depths of Teva. There's a hogginess behind the Teva. But the Teva never loses its individuality. So what does this mean? If someone we're expecting that the Gula to come, and therefore, the Gula to come, and all of a sudden we will be consumed by the light of the Gula, that is not the way it's going to work. Why? Because we are Teva, we are put in the Tevatika world, and Teva never loses its individuality. So it's never consumed by anything. What is going to happen? That we, from our own standpoint, from our own initiative, we're going to come to realize that there's a deeper koyach behind us, which is the anhogginesses. Not that the Bereshis ever is going to lose itself. It's going to lose its quality. Bereshis is always going to be the first. We are Metzius, people, human beings. We're going to stay human beings. We're just going to realize that there's a deeper dimension of anhogginesses in us. So therefore, the way we come to see anhogginesses, this is coming back to the Ian of Saddam here, that Ebbets is showing us how the world, he said that Ebbets is Atmos Amhus is over here. I don't see Atmos Amhus. You're never going to see Atmos Amhus. This is what we learned in the previous, if you remember, we had it, right. That even in a Shoma above, the only way it has a Shaykhus to the Ebbets, the way it says in the Chassidus, in the Shoma has a Shaykhus to the Ebbets, of course it has a Shaykhus. It's next to the Ebishter. The Rebbe says, no. The way the Shema has a Shaykhus to the Ebishter because he chooses to have a Shaykhus. So the same thing is when we have the Ebishter said, the Rebbe says, the Ebishter was Magal himself here. I don't see it. You are part of Bereshis. We are part of Teva. We are not going to change our status as Teva. Doesn't change. We come as Bereshis come. First, the Bereshis is going to be the first even Mashiach comes. We, as Bereshis, are going to come to realize HaChedesh. So if we want to see what the Ebishter, which the Rebbe says has revealed himself, we have to come to realize it from our Mitzvahs of Teva. Let's go to the next Maimah here in Gitzeizcha sort of explains the same thing. The Rebbe says just there, it's even clearer. But the Rebbe says that the Moshe Mashiach, the Rebbe says that Ness will penetrate the Teva. So 1920, the Ness will penetrate the Teva. That the Nissim will work in a Tevaistic way. The Ness will be able to accomplish. This is in my words. Will accomplish that what the Ness will do can do right. Then in lines 20-23, the Rebbe says not only that. The Ness is going to elevate itself. It's going to come from the Teva. Now, can you explain what's the difference between line 20 and lines 21 to 23? In lines 20, the Rebbe says, the Ness is going to penetrate the Teva, that the Teva on it can accomplish that, what the Ness usually accomplishes. And now the Rebbe says, 21 to 23, that the Teva on its own accord will come to be associated with the Ness. I mean, you already said that the Teva can accomplish that, what the Ness can accomplish, so the Teva is already associated. So what are the Rebbe saying here? So what the Rebbe saying here is that you can have the Ness having association with Teva because the Teva, because the Ebishter effect is the from above. The Ebishter affects the Teva, gives it the ability to do the Ness. That's one way. The Ness, the Ebishter affects the Teva to do that what the Ness can do. The next thing the Rebbe is saying is that Teva on its own accord comes to that. What do they mean, the Teva on its own accord? That the Teva moves and identifies, moves along to The Teva does its own movement in order to associate with the Teva. It's not coming from above. It's coming from the Teva itself. This is the same thing before we said before, that the Teva, the way the Teva has associates itself with the Nes is from the Teva. So the same thing that the Rebbe said, the Abish has revealed himself. I don't see it. Because you are never going to see it. As long as you choose not to see it. You have to now identify with that, with the Rebbe saying, you'll realize this is Atzmus and Hos. And does that make this full of, So this basically answers what, so this, let's sum this up. We were talking about the Nisim, the Rebbe's talking about the Nisim of the Gulf War. What's the Rebbe talking about? He's talking about natural things which happened all around with the communication between the Goyim and the fact that Saddam cooperated. And the biggest Nes is he gave back money which no one knew. What are the Nesir that the world, so remember, there's a little world, and there's billions of Ain't Sof Olamos above there, and we have a Torah. All of that above there, the whole Torah, is in order to get this world to go along according to the program. That didn't happen for 5,000 years, and now the Rebbe is saying that is happening. That is the Gilui of the Eibishter. There's no other Gilui. Now, all we have to do, we identify with the fact that this is the Gilui. We identify and bring it out in our, so that, that's more or less, does it go along, or, so this is basically what the Rebbe is saying.
Or it's to say, like,
this is more to what the Rebbe is saying, but let's just go, let me just go.
Before
is to
say,
oh, okay, you have to, okay, let it be by force. Let's just go here, one thing back, we'll go one to page number 4, and we'll just go back here to, the Sikh of Chav Ches Nissen. Now the Sikh of Chav Ches Nissen, the Rebbe talks about Admosai, right? So if you take the Chav Ches Nissen of the Sikh of itself, just take the Sikh of Chav Ches Nissen, the Rebbe's been speaking Sikhs beforehand, telling us about Nissen and the Flores, before Chav Ches Nissen. The Sikh in the beginning of Chav Ches Nissen, the Rebbe again speaks all about Nissen and the Flores.
I thought that was your base Nissen.
What?
Admosai was base Nissen.
What?
The first Sikh.
Of what?
Admosai.
That is Tov Shemem Ches, that is the first time of Yechiyah Melech.
Right.
Yeah, Yechiyah Melech, right. So here we're talking about several years later, this is about Chav Ches Nissen, where the Rebbe is talking why we haven't brought Mashiach, right? So, if you take that Sikha by itself, and you don't look at anything else, so you may say the Rebbe is only talking about Mosai. But just take the Sikhs beforehand, look at the Sikha of Yudalef Nissen. When the Rebbe says the Abish himself was Megala, and the Rebbe says on line 20, therefore a Yid has to move himself in his Hanhoga to Hanhoga Nisis, in the void of Kima Teira Mitzvahs. Then you take the Sikh of Shabbat Pasha Shmini, which is on line 25, going over to line 14 on the next page, where the Rebbe actually sells out that even if a Yid feels he's done it, look at this, this is something which is, applies to all of us, even though, in line 3, even though a Yid feels I've done everything, and what else can I do already? The Rebbe said the fact that you're still in Golas is a raya, the Abishah wants you to do something, which you're not, haven't done yet. Mm-hmm. So here's very clearly the Rebbe is telling us, when the Rebbe is telling us at Moshe, the Rebbe is telling us, you're still here, you don't realize you shouldn't be here, move yourself and get yourself out of here, it's not just screaming. It's just screaming Admosai. It's Admosai. It's meant to empower you to actually decide to realize you're missing something and that therefore you will do something and you get yourself out of Golas. Mm. So that's very clearly, you look at it from the Hemshech of the Sikhas, that Mosai is in a Kuda where the Yid realizes there's no reason I'm still in Golas. If I want, I can identify with Melech HaMashiach because it's all there available. And therefore, with that, I will know, therefore, I in myself can find how actually to bring the Gula in my life and people in the life of everyone around myself. It's just me. I have to realize there's no other reason that hasn't happened yet. At Mosai, there's no reason why this hasn't happened other than the fact that I have not moved on it. Okay, to say this. So this is basically what it is. And, so fine. I think we'll leave it at that. Okay. Ashkoich to you. Much appreciated. Yeah.